Good morning, website folks out there, as well as the live Pal Bunch. This is Wednesday, August 17th. We are looking tonight. We're done with the Manner of Life series. For what it's worth, it is there. Well, it's in the Bible too. You don't need my notes to explain it, but there's 23, 24 sermons on what Christians ought to consider in their lives because of all that Christ has done for us. Reasonable service is for our bodies to be a living sacrifice, which means we should do some things that pleases Him, not just us. And those are the things of how we live our life, not just what we do, but how we do it. So tonight, there's just a one-shot sermon, sort of. And let's go to the book of John, of all places, tonight. We're looking at words that destroy, or words that kill, or good words that destroy. Good words that kill. And we are seeing more and more, quote, Christians, unquote, and I'm not sure they're Christians really, you know, but regardless of that, we're seeing a lot of young people especially just quit, up and quit. There was a sermon floating around on the internet about 2 weeks ago some guy sent to me, and I never thought about it because I figured, oh, whatever. And his newsletter or whatever was about we're losing our kids all over the country. And it's a Baptist thing, and we know why it is. It's a folly thing. But what happens is in John chapter 14, we see a verse like this in John chapter 14. And these kids hear this preached and taught and put on everybody. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay? There you go. So we got different ways of looking at this thing. One is if you are getting if you're not getting your prayers answered, then let's go through the scriptures and let's find out where you're wrong, because God otherwise would give you your scriptures, but you're not living in the will of God right now. You're not tithing. You're not coming to church every time the doors are open. You're not going out on visitation. You're just not doing what you ought to be doing as a Christian. As they sit out in the audience there, dressed horribly. I remember one time in Las Vegas, we went to visit a Southern Baptist church. I think I told you this anyway. And the soloist for the day was one of the stripper girls down at the Tropicana who was going to sing a special. I think, what did she sing? Anyway, some special song. You know, is that just amazing? And he talked to her. He introduced her as one of the dance girls down at the Tropicana. So these people hear these things, and the kids hear this kind of a verse. And so the pastor puts a guilt on the people. Well, you know, he says right there that if you ask anything in my name, he'll do it. So what are you doing to cause God to not answer his prayer when he says he would? So there's one approach to that thing, one use of that thing, false and folly as it is. False, folly, and foolish. So then what do? We start asking things in his name. We say, Jesus, in your name, I need to have some help, da-da-da-da. Or else you go outside and there's something going on and you point to something and you say, in Jesus' name, get out of here, kind of a thing. You know, there's all that kind of stuff. Thank you, Chick Comic, and those charismatic boys in there that were always saying things in Jesus' name and holding their hands up and stuff and driving away the evil spirits and the bad guys. This is in Christianity. And like I say, if you're not getting your prayers answered, then there's something you are doing wrong. Or, God's a liar. Because he says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, you have to ask in his will. It doesn't say that. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. John 14, I probably didn't tell you the verses, did I? Verse 13 and 14. Let's go to another one, John chapter 50. We might be short tonight. That way, Sam, you can get to bed. And so can I, actually, but work to do here. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, there's a few restrictions here. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Well, here's how we explain this one. Well, let's see. You're not abiding in him, you must not be saved. Your prayers aren't being answered. Oh, well, you know you're saved? Okay. Well, my words abide in you. Have you been reading his Bible? Oh, all the time. Well, what Bible are you reading? NIV. Well, there's why. You get into a King James Bible, and then you ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. So you find a King James Bible family, and they'll profess a pretty decent salvation. And the father does Bible studies, you know, and they read their Bibles and blah, 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 blah. Yet their prayers aren't being answered either. So how do you get out of that one? Well, the kids look at this stuff and they go, there's something wrong here. This isn't working. Let's look at John 16:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Well, there you go again. You just got to put in his name, in Jesus' name, the name of the Father, whatever, you know. And why would you not be, what's going on here? It says, I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Why aren't you getting your fruit? You must not have any fruit coming on your tree. That's why you're not getting your prayers answered. See, these preacher guys take this stuff that's wrongly divided, obviously, and try to put this guilt trip on everybody for why their prayers aren't being answered. And I think this is a serious issue amongst the Paul family when they first realized the Paul thing, and they realized, you know, to get out of this gospel thing, this one shocks them. And all I want to say is, well, can you tell me the prayers that God has answered when he says, listen, you ask anything, and I'll answer them. Well, why aren't these prayers being answered? I've got some serious things I'm praying about, and where's the answers? We all do. And kids hear these verses and hear these preachings and hear these guilt trips and hear these explanations of why you're not getting everything you ask for. Everything. I can hear, I'm not getting anything I ask for. Am I that bad to God right now? Well, here, God gave us this car. He did. Yes, he did. Well, how many years is it going to take you to pay for it? Oh, about 15. But God was good, wasn't he? Right. Well, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. We've heard this one. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Really? So have you, maybe you just haven't asked anymore. Maybe you quit asking. Maybe you're not seeking. Is that way? Maybe not looking for it. Or have you been knocking? Hello, Lord, I would sure like to, you know, da 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 da. So can you see why people just go, you Christians are just nuts. You're nutcases. And everybody comes up with some kind of a reason why God doesn't answer their prayer. Well, you know, it's just not meant to be. And I didn't say in Jesus' name quite right. I remember Bill asked a question back there in Tushy. He said one day, hey, Pastor, how come we don't say in Jesus' name first when we pray? So this way he knows that we said it in his name. That way he'll give it. But see, if you wait till the end, Why should he listen to you if he's not sure you're going to say in his name at the end? Which really, that question is as common, it's a good question as it is, shows the silliness of this whole thing. Or you go to you go to a family reunion or something out here in this park, you know, that's where I picture family reunions and buffets and stuff, and somebody asked Uncle Henry to stand up and give the prayer, or Betty Lou or whatever, and they just pray this prayer, and then they just get on, and they just say, well, amen. Amen. Take your pick. And you think, aha, see, that guy didn't say in Jesus' name. He's either not saved, but he's not going to get his prayers answered because he didn't ask it in his name. Knock, 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 knock. Excuse me. Yes. Well, have you been asking prayers in Jesus' name? Oh, most definitely. Which ones are being answered? Silence, silence, silence. See? And our kids see this stuff. And other adults see this stuff. And the world sees this stuff. Have we been praying for the nation? Well, sure we have. What's going on? It doesn't look like those prayers are being answered. Well, let's go back there. We're just not seeking His face hard enough, because it says in 2 Chronicles 14 that if you seek His face, you know, and no, that's Old Testament stuff to the Jews. And we know these are verses to the Jews. Not, we don't have a problem. We understand that. But those are some verses that you just want to ask somebody. Hey, you're a gospel guy? Oh, yeah, I love Jesus, da-da-da-da. Well, how are you doing at getting your prayers answered? Oh, not too bad. What kind of prayers are you asking for? Oh, you know, just health and joy and all that stuff. Well, you probably got good health, but what about your wife? I hear your wife is real sick. I hear she's got a, well, she smokes and she's kind of in sin because of that, so then God isn't going to heal her. I've heard that one recently. And, you know, and I sent this to this one guy. That's, I'm going to write all his questions down here pretty soon and preach on them and teach him and stuff for a series here about these Bible guys. But his answers to his justification for claiming these verses were actually kind of funny. They're so bad. I won't waste our time with his baloney for tonight. So let's look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Oh, well, see, that's easy. You're just not believing hard enough. You don't have enough faith. If ye have faith and doubt not, I do have my doubts, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's why you can't get that mountain moved. Another guilt trip. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. You're just not. It's like these coaches. They say you lost the game because you didn't believe hard enough that you wanted to win. That's just a bunch of baloney. The other team scored 1 point more than you did, and they won. They're taller. They're faster. They're more experienced. I mean, you know, whatever. These guilt trips, our pastors are so good at. See, that's why I call pastors today extortioners. And we're supposed to stay away from that bunch. They're extortioners. They're trying to get something out of you by putting some threats on you, some guilt trips. So, how does a Christian handle not having his prayers answered? And he goes to these verses, and the pastors go to these verses all the time. Is God lying? No, Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? God is not a liar. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Well, maybe you're just not believing hard enough. Well, now we know part of the answer is those aren't written to us. That's to me, still, rightly dividing is the simplest way to explain any answer to anybody about anything if it involves other verses, other books. Well, I don't understand this verse. It's not happening. Well, it's not written to you. You're reading somebody else's mail. Which we are told to do, but we're just not told to follow it. Let's look here at John chapter 16. Let's go back to John chapter 16. Well, we are going to be done so early tonight, it's pathetic. John chapter 16, but it doesn't mean you have to go long. Just prove a point and be done with it. I think I'm going to be using this sermon in life here pretty soon. John chapter 16. Okay, folks, somebody tell me why these verses say what they say and your prayers aren't being answered. What's the answer to that? Okay, John chapter 16, verse 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, again in a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish. How could you forget having a baby like that? It's just, you know, wow. Anyway, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So we are living in the time where we will have sorrow. Because he's talking about his returning, his second coming. Well, he hasn't come yet. So we are all still living in this part between the time when he left, when he was killed, and the time that he comes back. We will be sorrowful. We're not going to have this fantastically happy Christian life that everybody says we should have. You know, gain is godliness. So, but here's the kicking verse now. This is the next verse. Look at verse 23. And in when? That day. What day? He's talking about coming back. There will be no more sorrow. There will be joy when he comes back. So in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So, that there's the answer. These prayers at the time would have been answered, and they will be answered again. But it's in that day. It's after he comes back. So in the meantime, until he comes back, right? Until the meantime, when he comes back, what do? We look to what Paul teaches about prayer, and we won't go through that tonight. We just know that Paul says to pray without ceasing. And I don't really think Paul is all that big on all these things that we pray for. Things, you know, the stuff that we have to have. And look at Isaiah 65. Hey, Daniel, you made it. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 24. And I like Isaiah because, you know, each one of these chapters of the 66 books in Isaiah, so they all line up with each book in the Bible. So we get into these last books, we're into these last days, we're into the, you know, that kind of a thing. I find that pretty fascinating. But anyway, Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. wouldn't that be just a neat thing? You're going to walk up to your dad, you're going to ask your dad for $100 because that's what kids want, and before he even has to ask, the dad hands him a $100 bill. That kind of a thing. That's what he's saying here. So there is going to come a day when those verses we read in John and Matthew that are going to come true. But all they do today is they destroy the faith of everybody who thinks that those verses are written to them. And so they quit. And good, they get into this, these religions that want to see something. People have to see something today to believe. And if we believe, then we'll see. But they can't see enough to believe, so they can see by believing, so they won't believe, so they won't see. But they go to a church that will teach them to see, no matter what they believe. Don't ask me to repeat that. And don't even type that to repeat that. Mark, don't you even start typing that. I'm disappointed. You're always rebellious enough that you still do things your way anyway. But anyway. Okay, I mean, I've got some other stuff I was going to do, but I think I want to just leave this one alone. This is short and simple, and it shows five verses where these pastors, they'll just pull these verses out of their Gospels. They'll just preach them, and when people don't get their prayers answered, it's their fault. And the kids are sitting there thinking, that's not my mom and dad's fault. It's not my fault. There's no God. There's no God because he's not answering these prayers. It takes 12 steps to get you to stop typing? Wow. And yet we know that Christ does say there's going to come a time when he will answer the prayer. Actually, it won't even be him answering. It'll be the Father. Because he says, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And that day you shall ask me nothing. So, and, you know, in all reality, we're in the millennium, we'll be talking to the Father, to God. But anyway, it's not today. There comes a day when prayer will be answered. In the meantime, we need to have our faith and not struggle with our prayers not being answered. But I'll say this. I think our prayers are answered in the manner that if you ask what you're looking for and ask what you're asking, the answers are in that Bible. And I know too many people that go, well, you just open up your Bible and ask them, should I move here? Where does it tell me to ask? No, you've got to be reading the thing. You've got to be staying in tune with God. You've got to be there all the time, you know. And this stuff is going to start filtering through. You're going to know where to look for some things. You are. We still got this concept in our brain that if we just, we have faith and we believe strong enough and we're doing good enough job in our day-to-day walk, that if we pray, he'll answer our prayer because he promises that he'll answer our prayer. And then for those that don't think that God answers prayers, well, he does. It's just different these days. We're looking at the dispensation of grace and an manual that we can look to see how to deal with it. And he does tell us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to pray for everybody else, other people. He tells us to pray for those that are in authority. He tells us to pray. We do. And it's not some prayerful prayer that you've written down, you know, and you speak it like you're a poet. You just talk to him. Just talk to him. And then read your Bible. But anyway, we're just going to stop there. There's a 25-minute, I think it might be a record for me over the years. But there's the thing about answered prayer. Stick to what Paul teaches about prayer. Don't be frustrated with the Jesus teachings of prayer to the Jews. Those weren't written to us. So, there you go.